Hello, we are here once again in the podcast Soul of Espoo, and today I have a special guest with me, our dear pastor and friend Anna Poutiainen.
Thank you, it's really nice to be here.
Welcome, welcome. I was guessing all the time that who I can invite.
Cool.
And then I was thinking about that, who else can be than you?
Oh my goodness. I'm such an expert in love.
Of course. Well, today we're going to talk, in this episode of Soul of Espoo, we're going to talk about love and how usually celebrate Valentine's Day is coming in Finland and the world is celebrating. How important is the love and friendship? But I think it's also for many people here in Finland, still is a bit difficult to understand this topic and also the difficulties, you know, to have friends and also to find a partner, to find a loved one. So that's also always an issue.
Love is, in a way, the most simple thing in the world and then also maybe the most difficult thing in the world. And everything in between,
exactly.
I would say.
Exactly. What do you think, Anna, that what it will be the most, I mean, the best way to describe Valentine's Day in Finland? Or what is the tradition about it?
Well, traditionally, we didn't have Valentine's Day until quite recently. Maybe it was more to us like an American thing that we had seen in films and movies, TV series. We've heard about it. And I think that when I was young, which is long time ago, it was like something super romantic that we could only dream of here in Finland. But then later it kind of came to Finland. And I think that maybe the Finnish post company had something to do about it because they probably wanted people to start sending postcards. So then they came up with this idea of ystävänpäivä, that the Valentine's Day would be more like a day for friendships than like maybe not so much the romantic side of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I don't know how long ago, but it's still like not so like old tradition or anything like that here in Finland.
So it's a little bit kind of recent tradition, so
yeah,
to, so a new tradition, so to say. Yeah, it's interesting because, of course, like in the world is always like, at least I can relate to that because of my home country and El Salvador, there's usually the February, everybody's already putting all the hearts, decorations and balloons and red colors about love, right? The representative of love. And everything is about that and romantic movies and who are you going to take to date?
You know, who's your Valentine?
Who is your Valentine?
But is that something that you've always had?
Yeah, actually, yes. Yeah. I think since I have been a kid, it has been always there. So the thing is about friendship, it hasn't been that highlighted as the love itself. Like, is it really the romantic kind of thing? So yeah, it's funny. It's funny to think it a bit like that because it's quite commercial as well. A little bit like in the USA. It is very commercial. Everything is about that chocolates and flowers and movie and all that, right? So, but it's interesting. How? What do you think about the now the Valentine's or the Friendship Day here in Finland? Do you think the younger people, the younger generation are celebrating it in the same way? Or is it has changed something?
I think that it's maybe for some friends it's nice, you know, like you send them messages or even cards, even though not so many nowadays, and say like Happy Friendship Day or things like that. But I think that it's just not as good idea as spending Valentine's Day as a romantic day. It just doesn't like, it's not so appealing. Because I think that, I don't know why, it's just probably very Finnish to kind of make it lame in that way, that it's not about romantic love, but hey, let's celebrate friendship. And I'm saying that friendships are super important. I'm not saying at all that it wouldn't be worth celebrating, but I don't know why we wouldn't just celebrate one day, like romantic love. I mean,
do you think it has something to do that because of the Finnish culture is a little bit I wouldn't say conservative, but I will say more reserved about the feelings or about the loved ones. It's something very private. Is it, do you think it's because of that? That maybe it's not so showy like in other countries?
Yeah, I think so. I think it has something to do with the fact that a lot of times, probably here in Finland, the relationships are more like maybe down to earth. It's not so much about romantic gestures. So I think that maybe when they were thinking like how to launch this idea in Finland, maybe they thought that this kind of celebrating friendship would be more Finnish or something like that.
More appealing, right?
Maybe.
To the Finnish, like Finnishness, so to say. But I also will think that it's interesting also that the importance also that you can give to friends. And I think this is a big, big issue always in Finland, especially for those immigrants or those international which have moved to Finland. They always end up with the situation that I don't have friends, or it's very difficult to get friends, and how do I find new friends, and where I found new friends? It's always a big question. And I've been always getting these kind of, you know, talks or discussions with some people that really I want to have Finnish friends, but it's not so easy. And it's complicated.
I think it's one of the reasons is that we Finns maybe take things so seriously that we are not so much like maybe the younger generations are, but the older generations, and traditionally in Finland, it has been more like, you know, small talk is very difficult for us. And this kind of like, just like everyday life gestures, like saying, hi, how are you? Things like that have been difficult for us. So making like friendships so that they could be just like, you know, light friendships where you, when you go somewhere, you can do things with somebody that could be okay. Whereas we might take it like, okay, well, you know, if I now invite somebody over, oh, it's so stressful, and then I have to clean the whole house, and you know, what do they think of me? And or if I kind of say yes to somebody's invitation to their house, you know, like people who come from elsewhere, a lot of times they're like super, you know, hospitable, and they're like, oh, you know, come to our house and, you know, come and eat with us. And it's like, now if I go, then I have to invite them next week. And it's so stressful, you know? So, you know, so it's difficult
it's pressure.
For us. We take it so seriously, you know?
It's pressure. Yeah. I never thought about that it's a pressure. Because usually...
Oh my goodness.
No, I mean, I never thought about that like as a pressure, right? Because I was thinking that somebody invites you home, like, well, many people, at least myself, if I invite somebody to my place to have a coffee or to eat something, it's kind of the opening, it's an opening for my interest to tell the other person, hey, I really would like to know you more as friend, and I, you know, welcome. And I think that is just simply as that. But I never thought about the pressure that you mentioned.
For a lot of Finns, I would say, even though I'm, don't want to generalize too much, but I would say that for a lot of us, it's not our comfort zone. It makes us uncomfortable that, you know, we might think that then we owe something to these people who have been friendly to us, and then, oh my goodness, then I need to be friendly and invite them. And it's like very difficult to just take something. And I think that has been like a big learning experience for me that, that I just like, okay, thank you so much. I'm happy to come and enjoy. I have a friend who's French, and she's super good cook. And she always invites me over, and she's like, oh, she'll make me like 3-course meal, and she's from Champagne, so she always has champagne. And I'm in the beginning, I was always like, yeah, but you know, I don't ever invite you and everything. And she's like, oh, this is my pleasure. I love to cook for you. I love it when you come over. It's a treat for me too. And I could not imagine how that could be true, that somebody is enjoying first cooking, then like making everything super beautiful, then inviting me over. And this has been a quick learning experience for me that then nowadays I'm like, oh, yes, thank you.
Thank
you so much.
Yes.
And maybe then I can give her something that she's not used to. But like my brutal Finnishness or something. or like maybe translating these cultural things to her. She's living here in Finland, so maybe I can help in some way, but I think to learn to take it has been a big thing.
And I also think that is, for example, like if I open my an invitation to someone like that, the point is that, at least for me, I think this is, I could call somebody like, started to call somebody like a friend when you have shared something together. And I think the most traditional thing that we all share is food, right? Drink and food, and it, like if we eat something together, and that moment is like a bonding kind of thing, right? It's almost like the family, when you have the family eating together. So, so I think in that way, it's also like kind of similar when you meet someone, and then after some time, you think, hey, it will be nice to know more, right? I would like to invite you. And that's open up another kind of level of friendship, or we could develop more as a deeper friendship, I would say.
Yeah, and if you think that it's actually really biblical that you eat together, that's what Christians did from the very beginning. And it's not only Christians, of course, all cultures do that together.
Exactly.
But that's just something that comes to my mind when talking about eating together, that's what, you know, it has always been done in all cultures. And it's kind of like, you can trust somebody if you eat with them, because you don't usually bring weapons to the table.
Exactly. So, oh, what was it? What was it when somebody like a toast used to be in, was it the Germany, that when somebody used to toast, when they drink beer or whatever they were toasting with, that the drink, it will pass to the other glass. Mm. So that was a sign of trust that I don't have a poison.
Or COVID.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but there is no any poison in the drink. So it was a little bit like a gesture about that. And I think that's also, it tells a little bit about that.
Yeah.
How vulnerable we could be also when we invite someone, what we expect from the other person. So we have to be also a little bit the same, right? But it came to my mind also something that about the whole Valentine's around, you know, the 14th of February especially. It's like there's a lot of chocolate involved and all this. From where all this came? Is it just American invention? Has it been in Finland something special also about candies and stuff like this, or balloons, or?
No, not like around Valentine's Day before it came from abroad.
Yeah.
And I'm now trying to think actually if we would have had some kind of Finnish tradition that would have been equal during the year, like some other time of the year. And now I don't have anything in my mind except for the thing that they used to do, like for example when my parents were young, their generation, they used to have this like skating thing when they would go skating, and then they would like put, like very traditionally, boys and girls in different groups, and then they would give everybody numbers, and those two people who had the same number, then they like had to skate together.
Right.
So this was kind of like speed dating in the early 1900s.
With the skating, ice skating.
Yes, very Finnish. Of course, something to do with the winter and cold and ice. So that's maybe something that I can think of, like what would have been like something romantic or something equal.
Or something that is for someone to talk with the other.
Yeah. Even the opposite sex. You know,
was it so that Finnish men were a little bit afraid to talk to women, or was it the other way?
Maybe both. I don't know. Yeah.
But I came to my mind also that how nowadays has developed the whole dating scene here in Finland. How is it nowadays? I believe it has changed a lot. I have been also single myself here in Finland, and I know it has been in some way, but I think nowadays it's completely different. Like, I don't think it's the same for the younger people. There's all the apps, there's all the internet dating. It's a little bit different than go to the place and dance and meet somebody live. It's a bit different.
And also very different ways of thinking about relationships. It's not as traditional as it used to be, that, you know, like you meet somebody, then you get engaged, you get married, you get children, you know, and then you grow all together. I think nowadays it's, there's everything, all kinds of different forms of relationships, and, you know, so it's completely something kind of beyond me already. And you know, who you want to be with, you know, is it a boy or is it a girl or is it something else, you know,
starting
from there.
I only think like a little bit like how the internet has also make a huge impact on all these, you know, relationships, so to say, because of course the way that you have an app to meet people online or virtually, I will say like this, so in the end you don't know for real this person. So it takes some steps, you know, until you meet someone live in person, you can see it, you know. So I think it also could be disappointing sometimes, because probably the person online is one personality, and when you meet,
pictures are 10 years old.
Exactly, in person it's completely different, or this is a super old picture or something. But then otherwise could be also a surprise.
But I think something that I find really touching is that, you know, I used to work at the Aalto University for 2 years as a university chaplain, and I was talking a lot to young people. And one thing that I find really touching is that in the end, what really matters to probably everybody in this world is that we have this need to be loved. And we wish that we would find that one person who finds us special, and we are special too. So I think that that's a need that has always been in this world, and it will never disappear. But then what the form around it is, or what kind of relationship it is, or, you know, with whom, that's kind of secondary, but we all have this need. And I think we are, of course, created to be sociable. We're created to be with somebody. And I don't think that anybody can kind of reach their full potential in this world if they have to try alone. So we all need that. So I think in that way, everything that is supporting forming relationships is good. But then at the same time, I think that there's a lot of exploitation there, possibly happening, and it's easier because the tempo of these things is so much quicker nowadays, you know. I remember reading of one missionary worker who went to Africa. It was in the 1900 something, 1870 or something like that, and you know, he was engaged when he left, and he would like send letters to his fiancée, and they like both received one letter in a year. And that was like the frequency that they were kind of talking to each other. And you know, if you start from that, and nowadays you're like online all the time, and you can decide in like in an hour or half an hour, or at least maybe if you're like super persistent, then in a week if you like somebody or not. So I think that we have this, the speed of these things has gone so quick. That
definitely.
Maybe our soul doesn't follow, you know, that sometimes it's too quick. And then, you know, when we realize that, okay, I don't like this person, or, you know, they don't like us or something, then, you know, you just keep on like flicking more and more and more. And a lot of times I feel that that's, you know, we don't have time to recover, time to think about these things. And it might not kind of do us good.
It's really interesting what you mentioned, because I never thought about like how quick it is, because it has become normal, of course, to everyone, and the messaging and all these, you know, sending pictures and all that, it has become our daily life nowadays. So also as one excitement can get when you meet someone, can go very quick up, but then at the same time something then immediately it's like, okay, this is it. It's done. And I don't know. I don't know if that was the right way. Of course, there's still people who said that if they don't want to be together or something is wrong, they will meet face to face and talk. And I think that's still nice if people would still do it, because it's a personal thing. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal thing that you are connected to someone. But then a lot of, I've heard so many people who breaks up with messages and, you know, they don't even see each other. They didn't have the chance to even talk together.
Yeah, or not even that, but they do this ghosting thing, which I think is so irresponsible. I mean, you are dealing with people, with feelings. And I think it's very disrespectful to ghost somebody. I think that's one of these like phenomenons nowadays that I find so bad. I mean, it's so heartbreaking that you can just...
The ghosting, for those who don't know, the ghosting, it means that when somebody has been in contact with you and has somehow meet you or has some way, some kind of relationship for some time with you, and then they just disappear. But one day they don't write, they don't answer, they don't see your messages, they just disappear.
That's like ghosting. Showing interest first, at least some level, and then just disappearing.
And disappearing, yeah. And I could say that yeah, it's not nice.
It's not nice.
And I think either men or women, they do the same. Mm. So it's nothing about one side
anybody,
to another.
Yeah.
But it's something that it has become part of this new kind of dating culture.
Yeah.
Of trying and meeting people, but at the same time, like, okay, if I don't like it, I don't say anything, I just disappear.
Mm.
It's very strange. Mm. Very strange, actually.
And where's the respect or responsibility in that? Nowhere.
Mm.
Because in that, you're treating other people like some, I don't know what, at least not as a person.
Mm. It's a bit, I feel that it's a little bit like disposable or something like this, something that is like, you know, something that you don't need to even face.
Mm.
You don't even need to get any consequence or anything. You just leave it. That's it. So it has
saves you from the difficult discussion or something like
that. It has become very easy in that way. Before, I don't think it was like that.
Yeah, and before, when you were living in smaller communities and everybody knew everybody, it's not that you could have just done that.
Mm.
And I think that, like, for me, I'm working with people who have moved to Finland from elsewhere, mostly, because I work as a pastor for English ministry in Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, most people I work with are not non-Finnish, like, by birth. And they have, like, much closer communities still, even though they are in Finland. And, you know, like, so they kind of take care of each other. They know if somebody is treating somebody in a bad way. So, you know, a lot of times people wouldn't dare to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when living in big communities or big cities, then, you know, everybody's such an individual and not necessarily tied to any bigger communities that would protect them. So, you know, you can just treat other people in the way you want, and you won't run into them again, or even if you would, it doesn't matter like that, because you don't have to face the family, you don't have to face the angry father or something like that. And even though I'm not saying that, yeah, good old times, everything was so great, but I think that there are really good things in that kind of like protecting your own in that way.
I understand.
You know, people are not so vulnerable because they're not there alone.
Exactly. I just came to my mind also, like, a lot of people is also looking for their life partner, right? Their partner.
Mm.
And that's something like, if this kind of fast moving world, so to say, it also has become even more difficult to find somebody who you want to spend a life with.
Mm.
So then that way, I think also, like, if you find, for example, the woman or the man that you are, like, you know, you are wishing to have, you are expecting to have a partner in this kind of way. So, like, it has become even more difficult than before. And I think in that way also many people also don't even have the chance to even, you know, meet that person because of these issues now, the ghosting and not answering or not caring so much about the other person. So I think also to have the life partner for many is, I don't know, they are 10 years looking for that partner. And this is really like, it sounds complicated, because I met many people who said, I found my wife online. I found my husband online.
Mm.
And then they said, yeah, I look very hard and I met so many people, but I didn't find the right person until then.
Mm.
So it took a long struggle.
Mm.
So to say a long walk to find this person. Mm. Wow, why can it be so difficult to find love?
I don't know if it would have something to do with the expectations we have, you know, like, maybe we expect nowadays, I mean, there are several reasons why we have these expectations, but could it have something to do with the fact that we might be expecting so much from one person, you know, like this person would have to be our best friend, our lover, our inspiration, our... You know, you name it. And maybe in the old times, you know, there weren't so many possibilities and you took the best possible one and then you just made the life with that person. And of course, again, I don't want to idealize history or anything like that or say that, yeah, it must have been great or anything like that. But I think that somehow also kind of blurs our vision in this, that we might also think, oh, okay, plenty of fish in the sea if it doesn't work with this one. And there's probably a better one waiting for me. And it's hard to stick with somebody that you need to work with if you have this idea that, you know, maybe there's somebody even better somewhere else. And it's possible to maybe find somebody who's better, but then, you know, what's that like, what's the value of working hard together to make a lasting relationship?
Mm. It's, I also kind of think a little bit like, we all look for love, but also many people struggle with the acceptance.
Mm.
Because in the end, when we meet somebody, we will never find a perfect person.
Mm.
There's no perfect person. But we will always kind of find somebody who will fulfill our feelings in some way, will complement us, right? So in that way, I feel that also like, in a way, you know this person is not 100% what you expect, but you can make, you know, you can commit to be with this person and say, hey, doesn't matter the 15% left that it doesn't fulfill it, but I can work with it. I can accept it. Right? I think this acceptance is something that probably the world needs more of, this acceptance from one person to another, because there's no perfect person. Mm. We are not perfect ourselves. So it's also a little bit like when we are ourselves, it's always a little bit the issue that, do I behave like this? Do I really show like that? You know, you always kind of think when you meet someone, but then when you have the trust, of course, naturally happens, right? You get the feedback from the other person that accept you as you are.
Mm.
You know, if you snore or not, or, you know, you look like this in the morning, or you are angry or this. So, you know, we live all these cycle of life kind of together, right?
Mm.
So we kind of have this balance. And yeah, I also think also that it's important to think a little bit for new generation also, that it's not so... It doesn't need to be everything so perfect, right? Because that's the thing that media has created a lot of this, you know, image that everything has to be perfect, and you need to be like this, and you need to be rich, and you need to have this good job, or this money, or that, or live in this place. And I think that's a lot of pressure.
It is.
That's a lot of pressure, especially, for example, I'm talking about like men. Many times men think that you have to look successful, you have to look kind of rich, that you have reached out something, and then people will think that, this is a good candidate.
Mm.
So many men think that as long as I have this, I will have a nice woman.
Mm.
I don't know if that's correct. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but many men think in this way.
Mm.
So what is the pressure of women? That's also a little bit different pressure.
Mm. Yeah. I think so. Or maybe nowadays, these have also blurred a little bit. It's not so much anymore about maybe, you know, what is your sex, what's your gender, but maybe like different things that you need to try to reach certain things to be like wanted. But something that I was thinking when you were talking about that was that, you know, how I also work as a psychotherapist. and my background is psychoanalytic, and there's this talk about parents or mother being good enough, and that's like a term that we use, good enough mother. And you know, like, so that, you know, when you're parenting, you should never have to be perfect. And that's also even harmful if you're perfect, but good enough. And I was thinking that in that sense, what about like accepting other people when they are good enough? You know, there's enough of these things that meet your expectations or your needs or your values, but nothing is perfect. And also accepting ourselves. Okay, I'm good enough. You know, I don't have to be perfect. If I'm good enough, I can find myself a good enough partner to live a good enough life.
Yeah.
But we are always like, oh, it's not perfect. You know, like we are always trying to reach higher and go further. What if we would just settle with good enough? And I'm not saying settling with something that is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same.
Yeah, not the
but
same.
Good enough that you feel happy, you feel content, and this is something I can live with, and my life is good enough. And I somehow really like this good enough. It has brought me a lot of comfort.
This good enough, it can be interpreted in different ways, but I also think that if somebody is good enough for you, that's not less than what you need.
Exactly. No.
Yeah, it's really... it's really fulfilling.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, wow, this is an interesting discussion. But I was just thinking, like, yeah, what to say to those in Finland who are looking for a partner for love? I don't have much advices to say. That one thing about it in Finland, which is good also for people, is that they can be who they are. They don't need to pretend to be anything. They don't need to show up too much. I think they will find somebody who will look at them as good enough as they can be. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that, like you said, that maybe here we value this kind of like genuinity, that people are genuine, that they don't try too much. That instead of these like huge romantic gestures, which are nice, but they don't kind of, you know, like they don't, they are not enough if you are not a good person as well. You know, you can't win anything by just buying chocolate and flowers once a month, you know. And a lot of times maybe it might even feel like, okay, what is this person trying to hide if they are being kind of too sweet in a way. So we are maybe blunt in that way, that we like some kind of direct approach too.
Is skeptical?
No, I'm not sure if it's skeptical, but maybe like, yeah, somebody said that the Finns just came down from a tree, you know, so that we kind of value very kind of simple gestures. But of course, Finns, you are a Finn nowadays, so, you know, if I'm saying Finns, that's kind of very old-fashioned too.
Well,
I mean, we are two Finns here discussing.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, even just to wrap it up a little bit, like just saying that it's, think a little bit for everybody. I mean, love is there out there. Yeah, and it's like take your chances, take your opportunity. You never know who you're gonna meet. It's always something like this. Surprises always appear. And I think that's always like something, that's what life is for, right? I think love is the most important thing in the end. Not money, not image, not that. But it's in the end with who you can be good enough, as we talk.
Yeah, and don't hide from love.
Don't hide from love. Yeah. That's a good point. Yes.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Well, thank you, Anna. This was a very nice discussion, and yeah, maybe we will invite you another time.
Thank you.
Talking another of these topics. But well, this was Soul of Espoo. Thank you for listening to us. This was David Cáceres, And the next time, listen to us on Spotify, YouTube, and the other platforms. See you.